First of all, I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors. Steve Hawkins, many of you know, is the assistant director of the Purdue Ag Centers. And Fred Whitford is the coordinator of the Purdue Pesticide Programs at Purdue. And he's also the author of several publications on farm, pesticide, and transport safety. Well, it looks like this guy had a pretty bad day. But it could have been worse. If you look closely, you'll see that the hitch pin and the safety chain both are still attached, and they actually did their job. Well, this guy wasn't quite so lucky. His hitch failed, and if he had safety chains, they did not do the job. Judging from the hoses hanging down from the back of that toolbar, he also lost his anhydrous tank. So as a much more costly type of incident in terms of equipment damage and lost time than the previous one. So the first and sometimes the only safeguard against in-transit detachment between the towed and the towing vehicle is the hitch pin, the lowly hitch pin. This is a picture of a hitch pin that's been in service on my farm for 19 years, and it looks like it's holding up pretty well. But one thing I'd like to point out is that keeper down there on the bottom is just about as important as the hitch pin. I had an experience about 5 years ago where I was hauling grain wagons back to the field, and I forgot to check to make sure that keeper was in the hitch pin. Next thing I knew, I was looking in my rearview mirror, and I saw the rear wagon heading over to the ditch. And fortunately, there was no oncoming traffic, and the wagon was not loaded. So the damage was pretty minor, and all it amounted to was just a lost time for me because I had to go back to the farm and get a tractor to pull it out. But, that keeper is pretty important. So let's look and see what some of our lawmakers have to say about hitch pins. In Indiana, they talk about the adequate size and hardness to withstand the dynamic stresses of the towed vehicle at full capacity. In Illinois, they talk about a suitable hitch pin, including the clips and safety chains. So what do they mean by adequate and suitable? Well, as you know, hitch pins will bend and they will break. The primary forces that a hitch pin will endure are stress forces, shear forces. And you'll see that picture up the example up in the upper left hand corner is a good example of shear force that used to be straight. It's not actually a hitch pin, but it's a top link pin from a 3-point hitch. When it was put in service, it was straight, but after years of shear stresses, it looks more like a camshaft. And then that pin in the upper center underwent two different types of stresses. We had the shear stress that put that 90 degree angle bend in it, and then a tensile stress was enough to pop the head right off that pin. The pin on the right is a 1-inch pin. It appears to be a little bit softer, a little bit less strong than it should have been, maybe a grade softer than it should have been, because the shear stresses have put some deformation into it. You know, you see a little bit of a bend up there in the pin. You see quite a bit of gouging and galling on that pin. And then that bottom pin is not unusual at all to find on farms all across the Midwest. It's not a pin. It's a bolt that's been made into a pin. The farmer needed a certain size pin, didn't have one, so he made it out of a bolt. At least this farmer had his heart in the right place, because he put a hole down in the bottom of it to put the keeper in. So it may not have been appropriate, but at least it was going to stay in place. Now, we need to think a little bit about hitch pin engineering. Reputable manufacturers of pins will grade their pins the same as bolts. I mean, the SAE standard is grade 2 and is a little bit softer than a grade 5. Grade 5 has less tensile strength than a grade 8. And of course, bolts have a way to tell what grade they are. If you look at a pin that's got 3 marks on the top, that's a grade 5. And if it's got 6 marks on the top of the head of the pin, it's a grade 8. But pins don't have any standard marking like that. You have to rely on the information provided by the manufacturer at the time you purchase it, and then somehow be able to remember that grade throughout the life of the pen. You just can't tell just by looking at the pen to what grade it is. Well, let's say, for instance, that you know you have a bunch of pens and you know what their grade is. How do you determine what the correct pen is to use in for any situation? Well, as I said, the shear strength is, or shear forces are the primary forces that act on pens, and that is forces that are perpendicular to the axis of the pen. So we need to select a pen based on shear capacity. So the shear capacity of a pen is equal to 60% of its tensile strength, and that's on a circular cross-sectional area basis. So a quarter inch or half inch pen is going to have less shear capacity than a 3/4 inch pen of the same grade. Tensile strength of a grade 2 pen is 60,000 pounds per square inch. For a grade 5, it's twice that, 120,000 pounds per square inch. And for grade 8, the tensile strength is 150,000 pounds per square inch. So the formula is for shear capacity is tensile strength times 0.6 times pi r squared. That's so simple an eighth grader could do that. So therefore, the shear capacity of a 3/4 inch grade 2 pen would be about almost 16,000 pounds. For a 3/4 inch grade 5 pen, it'd be twice that, around 32,000. And for a 3/4 inch grade 8 pen, it'd be nearly 40,000 pounds. So what, you know, we figured out what pen we need, but what happens if the pen fails for some reason, or if it falls out like it did for me? You need to have a backup, and the backup should be a safety chain. This is an image of the connection between our tractor and our no-till grain drill. A no-till grain drill, when it's full to capacity, is around 15,000 pounds load. So we have an inch pen, grade 5, connecting the tractor and the drill. And then we have a grade 70 transport chain made into a safety chain as a backup. But it kind of brings up the question, how strong should safety chains be? And I did a search looking for all the laws that I could possibly find across the nation that relate to safety chains. And there are an awful lot of laws that do relate to safety chains, but they all pertain to commercial transport. And then all these laws, or many of these laws, specifically exempt agriculture and farm equipment. So in order to get some kind of a feeling for what we really need to have for a safety chain, I went to the American National Standards Institute and the American Society of Ag Engineers, and they have created a standard for manufacturers that relate to this, and they say that safety chains need to have a minimum strength sufficient to support the gross weight of the towed machine. That's pretty simple, but they didn't say average weight, and they also didn't put in a margin of safety. Say they needed they have to handle twice the weight. You just have to be the minimum strength sufficient to support the gross weight of the load. So that's the standard. Transport safety chain specifications are published by manufacturers, but they're all pretty standard. For example, for a grade 30 proof chain, that's 5/16 inch diameter, it has an ultimate breaking strength of 7,600 pounds. For a grade 70 and 5/16, that more than doubles up to 18,800 pounds. So that tells me that my choice of a grade 70 transport chain, 5/16 in diameter, for that, for a safety chain connecting my tractor to my grain drill, that has a margin of error in there. It's the 15,000 pound grain drill can easily be handled using that grade 70 transport chain. Now, makes me feel a bit more comfortable using that than something that's right at the standard of 15,000. To have that little margin of error means that over time, with the chain being nicked up, even if it doesn't get used, it gets nicked up in use, and there's some corrosion and that sort of thing. And all these things will reduce the ultimate breaking strength of the chain over time. So I feel I've got a margin of error that's going to allow me to use this chain for several years to come and feel confident that it's going to do the job of maintaining the connection between the tractor and the drill for in case I lose the hitch pin. So the chains are a little bit different than hitch pins in that their grades have to be marked on the chain. They have a standard marking system. Of course, the upper left-hand corner shows a grade 30 5/16 inch chain. It doesn't have a mark on that, but because that an unmarked chain is just considered to be grade 30. That's the standard. The chain and the components of the chain all need to be marked to be able to be considered a particular grade. For instance, that hook, you can make out that says G70, and that means it's grade 70. That connector link in the lower right-hand corner also has a marking on it, G-7-10. That means it's a grade 70 connector link. And then, of course, the chain itself has a marking on it, the C7, which indicates it's grade 70. So anything that's stronger than a grade or grade 30 chain has to have a marking on it that makes it obvious what grade it is. So, in summary, you need to know your maximum load. You need to be able to select a suitable hitch pin and keeper using the information that I presented earlier. And you want to be able to use a strong enough safety chain as a backup in case the pin fails. So that's what I've got.
You were talking about chains needing to be able to support the piece of equipment. What about a pin? I mean, how do you want to kind of went through there how many pounds it tends to, you know, how much you could pull. So is the pin supposed to be heavier than the chain?
Well, I saw on that one slide, it said that it had to be adequate and suitable. It's really kind of vague, but in my mind, if you have a pin that can withstand a certain shear capacity, and you match that shear capacity of the pin up to whatever maximum load you plan on pulling, like the grain wagons that we pulled, the one that ran into the ditch, that has a capacity of 30,000 pounds when it's fully loaded. So I need to have a pin that has a shear capacity of at least 30,000 pounds. I think that worked out to, a 3/4 inch grade 5 pin would handle that. But oftentimes we'll handle two wagons in tandem. So that first pin needs to be stronger because you have 60,000 pounds that you're going to be pulling. So whatever you have to do the math on that, probably what it ends up being is about a 7/8 or a 1 inch grade 8 pin to handle the load on that front wagon. I believe that's what that pin was that was I showed in the picture of the one picture. I hope that answered your question.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think if you bought a tractor and you're just trying to figure out what pin to use. I mean, you don't know how many pounds of pulling strength that tractor pull, or how do you?
You have to go by the load. You always have to go by the load, and those hitch pins that I use for the grain wagons always stay with the grain wagons. So they'll handle that maximum load, and then you probably ought to plan on having a specific hitch pin for every implement or every wagon that you haul, just to make sure that you've got the right pin in place. And you know, if there is a question about what grade the pins are, then maybe you just get all grade 8 pins and don't worry about the other stuff.
If you've got two safety chains, does each one have to carry the full weight, or can you divide it in half?
Well, the Federal National Transport Safety Board had a standard that they, or a law that they have for interstate commerce, and their law says that each chain has to be able to handle the load. But the standard that the American National Standards Institute and the American Society of Ag Engineers came up with said that just had to be able to handle the load. And of course, when we're on a implement, we're just going to have one chain on there, but on trailers and that sort of thing, we'll have a double chain. So you can go with a lighter, you'll be able to go with two chains that are lighter, of course. You know, that gives you a little bit more of a backup, I guess, so, than just one chain.
1 minute, Bill.
On those safety chains and the load, that's kind of, if you have the load of a piece of equipment, when that hitch pin comes out, the piece of equipment, at the time that it leaves the tractor, until the safety chain hits, mm-hmm. you're going to have some inertia there.
Right.
How do you account for the inertia?
Well, I don't know that you can. I don't know that, the safety chain itself has some margin of error. It's got the ultimate braking strength, of course. And I think that they may have gone, I don't know for sure, but I think that when they test these chains or come up with these grades, they test them in that type of a situation where you have a jerking force, which that would be. Normally, though, in ag transport, we're moving along the road at less than 20 mile an hour. It's going to be a force, but it's not going to be a big force like it would be, say, for a semi, where a semi would detach.
At home, we've got people going down the road with full anhydrous tanks behind them, pick up at 65 mile an hour.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Generally, when that pin falls out, though, they're both moving the same direction at the same speed, so you may not have quite as big of a jerk as if you were trying to pull something out of the field from a dead stop.
Well,
thanks a lot.
Okay.
Well, let's give Bill a hand.